discovering our extraordinary God in the ordinary things of life. Welcome to St. Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer on Relevant Radio.
We are counting down the hours now to the beginning of this Lenten season. More on that coming up. I want to talk a little bit about Ash Wednesday. I know you still want to celebrate Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, Shrove Tuesday. Pick your favorite moniker for it, and we can talk about that too. But first, I want to talk about a different topic, something that is making headlines in the secular media that has to do directly with our church. Actually, John Harper was talking about it this morning, also on Morning Air. And I want to talk about this issue because, well, it gets to the heart of what people think about the church, how people see the church. And it might be one good starting point might be Eugenio Pacelli, who has a much longer, very pious name, Eugenio Maria Giuseppe Giovanni Pacelli. In case you didn't get that, that's Eugene Mary Joseph John Pacelli, right? Very pious parents, I'm sure, to have such a beautiful name. You probably know him better, though, as Pius XII, now declared venerable by Pope Benedict XVI, a pope of the 19th century who did some really, really powerful, interesting things during the course of his pontificate. I think one of the more interesting aspects of his papacy, to me, very providential aspect of it, is that he was elected pope. Get this, he was elected pope on his birthday. What a terrible birthday present. I don't mean to, you know, disparage the role there, not at all. I'm so grateful that he said yes. Could you imagine on your birthday being asked to lead the bark of Peter, to serve as pope, and to give up your life completely, the rest of your life, to do a job that is so difficult and so challenging? And of course, the times that Pope Pius XII lived in, World War II and the aftermath, I mean, you and I both know how challenging that was. And in fact, that's largely what he's remembered for. For historical reasons, that memory is controversial, although it shouldn't be, in my opinion. You look back to the reputation that he has in his treatment of the world issues at the time, and they're colored largely by these strange propaganda pieces that came well after his papacy. You look at these different plays that were written about him, portraying him as an uncaring bystander, as Jews were gathered up and murdered around Europe because of Hitler and his regime. When in fact, right, the evidence shows that he was doing so much to protect the people who were being persecuted by the Nazi regime. But because of that portrayal, not based in history at all, we know that there is a controversial aspect of it. Is it a difficult subject? Well, sure. I mean, you look back at the times in which he lived, anything he said could have ignited the wrath of Adolf Hitler. And we had seen it prior. We had seen cases where people, prelates, leaders, world leaders, had pushed back against Adolf Hitler, and the subjects of those individuals suffered the consequences, right? Grave persecution increased at those times. So here was a man caught in an impossible situation. Did he have to make a decision about a style and an approach to this? Well, sure. He had to decide, am I going to work hard behind the scenes to try and end this barbarism? Am I going to try and save people behind the scenes? Am I going to use diplomatic means to do this? Or do I do this in the public light? Do I decry the evils that are happening around Europe especially? And he took, as we know, the more quiet route, but it doesn't mean he at all that he was inactive or passive. Anyway, I'm getting worked up here. Can you tell? You could read some good historical books about the life of Pius XII, and you will see how important his role was in protecting many, many people during World War II. But that's not really what I wanted to discuss anyway, because what I wanted to discuss is this very interesting. By the way, his birthday and his election to the papacy was on March 2nd. And we celebrated the just a few days ago the anniversary of that birth. And I think it was the 80th anniversary, if I'm remembering correctly, the 80th anniversary of his election to the chair of St. Peter. And because of that, there was a gathering of historians and individuals around his cause for canonization and around his papacy, those who are interested in the events of his papacy. And Pope Francis had an audience with them, or I should say they had an audience with Pope Francis. And Pope Francis made the announcement, and this is the news that's being shared around secular news sites today, that the Vatican next year will open up the secret Vatican archives, especially with those things in relation to Pius XII, the secret Vatican archives. I could give you that in Latin, but I don't want to lose you here. This is the reason I'm highlighting that is because whenever you hear the secret Vatican archives, all of a sudden images of conspiracy, of, you know, intrigue seem to occupy our minds, because it seems like there must be very important secret information that might explain, I don't know, lots of historical conspiracies throughout history. No, without question, there are very fascinating pieces of history inside of the archives of the Vatican. If you do a search, though, for what's actually in the Vatican archives, what you will find are many different websites and people speculating about cover up, about conspiracy, about these things. And I think it's really important to back up and say, what do we mean? What does the church mean? What does the Vatican mean when they describe the secret Vatican archives? They were started by Paul V, I believe. And the word secret in Latin, secretum, does not mean what it sounds like to you and me in English. It does not mean that the literal word secret, as if it's confidential, as if it's mysterious and unknown to us. Rather, in Latin, what it means is personal, the personal archives of the Vatican, which means they're not open to the public. You might also say the private Vatican archives, which doesn't mean they contain a lot of conspiracy things that contain a lot of information that the Vatican is trying to hide and cover up. Fundamentally, what it means is they contain matters of a private nature, which maybe some people would really like to get their hands on, personnel files of different prelates and bishops and cardinals around the church. I know Cecilia's noting that private doesn't sound nearly as cool, and I agree. There's something what's that guy's name? Dan Brown-esque-ish about the secret Vatican archives, right? As if somehow it's going to explain Da Vinci's Last Supper and all of the secret imagery and images hidden in that. It does contain, of course, the Vatican archives do contain sensitive information. They contain information about bishops and cardinals and popes themselves from history, since at least the founding of the archives, and probably plenty of documentation prior to Paul V's founding of them. But the point being is that they're not secret in order to provide cover-up. I know I have to stop because I'm not convincing anybody. Anybody that's running a conspiracy website, anybody that's actually, you know, kind of bought into that fact, I know I'm not convincing you with this because it sounds very conspiratorial that I'm actually downplaying the importance of it. I guess to me, when I hear the news that Pope Francis will open up the archives to historians, this is nothing new in the sense that I think it was in 2006, Pope Benedict himself opened up the archives in order to review some different documents for a previous pope. I forget now the details about it. But this happens regularly that popes decide, okay, history has passed. We think there's enough context for us to be open and to look at these things. Pope Francis did make the important point today. He said, we're not afraid of history. We're not afraid of history. And I completely agree with that. I mean, the church isn't afraid of, shouldn't be afraid of history. Are there things that we need to repent of in our history? Sure, as a church. We are filled with sinners, and there have been things that have taken place and been done in the name of the church that need God's forgiveness and mercy without a doubt. And so sometimes looking at the history of the church and the documentation in the archives of the Vatican, we know that we will find things that are uncomfortable, painful, very difficult for us to read. And I think we need to recognize that. Is there also, from my perspective, the ability to protect those who have gone before us who can no longer defend themselves? I think that's something that you and I would appreciate. I mean, when we die, if all of the facts of our life and all of the records of our business dealings, our personal letters, if all of those were revealed, would you be completely comfortable with that? Especially when you're missing the historical context. Let's say that maybe you're completely comfortable with the whole record of your life, but it could be taken out of context. It could be read in a different light. Anyway, I guess it's interesting to me. I'm very, very much in favor of this, of historians, theologians, experts, archivists having access to the Vatican archives in order to do work. But I also am grateful that the church is prudent and careful in this matter. So as you see this, I would not expect any major bombshell. I don't know, maybe in 2020 you might be sending me an email saying, whoa, look at what we found, Father. Weren't you wrong about the life of Pius XII? I guess that's a possibility. I just think that the church has largely been, honest about the history of Pius XII. And unfortunately, his life has been distorted by the world and by others. And I think when all is said and read, and we look at all of this, I think we're going to have even more to appreciate about his life and the way that he handled such a difficult, terrible, tragic time in the church and in the world. Let's pray for Pius XII. Let's pray for this process. Let's pray for the church that she might continue to be open and transparent as much as possible.